was just thinking, what's the Christian version of AC/DC? And I think it's JC/DC. And that's what we get when Bretto leads worship, bit of JC/DC. Thanks, team. It's going to get better than that, I promise.
My singing?
You're singing? No, we've been waiting 25 years for that, Bretto. Too good. This morning I was doing some electrical work. I am not a qualified electrician, kids, but that's shocking. I'll see what you did there, Jeff. And I wasn't really quite sure what I was doing. I knew that two cables had to get connected to each other, and I pulled out all my tools and I cut the cables. And I think, Ronnie, were you watching me do this? He was. I was fearing for his life, about to watch his dad get electrocuted anyway, I cut the cables and I had to solder them on to this other fan that I needed to get going. I was building a biltong box, which Kevin Charade, I'm like, biltong, South African, you know, delicious meat, yumminess. Anyway, I built a box to cook it in, but I couldn't get the fan working. I tried to wire it up and I soldered it all on. I put it in the plug and I turned it on, and guess what happened? No, the fan did not work. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then I realized that I'd connected the wrong cable to each other. I got them backwards. I needed to undo them and connect the right ones, and then the fan would work. And I was thinking about it, and it did. It worked, and no one died in the making of this film. How good. But I was thinking about this when we're talking tonight about how the Holy Spirit is poured out into our lives. This is what happens when God's life and our life get joined. It works. When God's life and when we join our life to God's life and God's life becomes part of our life, it's like when the light switch then goes on, it all begins to work. It doesn't mean it's always easy, but we receive power when we are connected to God. Can you remember that, kids, that we get power when we're connected to God? Can you remember that one for me? Or if I tell you to forget it, then will you remember it? Because when I tell my kids to remember something, it seems like they have a pretty hard time doing it. So forget it. Forget that. That when you connect your life to God, you get power. Thanks. You're all over it, Branch. Well, it is great to have you here as part of our Kingsway Jesus community here on a Saturday night, doing something differently than what we would normally do. And if you are new and visiting with us, there is a few visitors. Welcome tonight. Some of our, I saw on Tuesday night, we had our Christian Surfers fundraising story night on Tuesday night. And we had about 80 or 90 people here for that. It was a great night hearing what God had been doing through the ministry of Christian Surfers, not just locally, but around the world. And I see some familiar faces from Tuesday night. So welcome, guys. Good to have you with us. But we have been on a journey over the last few weeks, and it's carrying us on our series called Sent. And we are looking at the first 12 chapters of Acts and looking at what it means to be sent by Jesus, what it means to be sent in the Spirit, and what it means to be sent as the church. And early on, as in the last 3 weeks, we've looked at three key moments in Jesus' ministry when this theme of being sent is front and center. Where Jesus sends people has been the middle of these messages. And let me just recap in a very short way for you. Firstly, we looked at Jesus sending the 12 disciples and how Jesus sent them with his power and authority. And he said to them all, I want you to go, but I want you to take nothing with you for your journey. I want you to go, but you can't take a thing with you. And we looked at how so much of our discipleship journey is one of letting go of comfort and security and familiarity and learning to trust God for absolutely everything in our lives. Secondly, we looked at the sending of the 72, and Bretto preached a great message on this where we looked at being called to go beyond our comfort zones and to engage with people where they are, to share meals with each other, to linger in people's lives in order to build trust, to minister to sick people and to hurting people. Bretto reminded us that it is not our job to save people, but to point them to Jesus and to the reality of God's kingdom in tangible ways. And the way that we do that is by caring and by praying and by serving and by eating. And as we go into the world, we go with the message that God's kingdom is in fact at hand. That the kingdom of God is really close. That it is here. And in our third week, last week, it took us into the days after Jesus' death when he was bodily alive again, where he'd risen from the dead. He was present with the disciples. He'd made himself known and visible to many others. And we looked at Jesus' instruction to go and wait in Jerusalem, to go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come and be with them. The one who Jesus had promised would be a helper and would be a guide and would be there to help them understand all of God's truth and reveal it to them and to give them the tools that we need and they need and we need to share the good news with the world. And we looked at why Jesus asked them to wait and how to wait well. And the key takeaway from last week was for the disciples that was not a time that was idle. It was a time of preparation. It was a time of deep unity together. And it was a time of devoted prayer as a community. And we learned that times where God makes us wait is not just something that we endure until we get what we want, but waiting is a crucial part of becoming who God wants us to be. And so if you've ever found yourself waiting for something, in life, in prayer, holding out in faith. You know, waiting isn't just about enduring, it's about God shaping us and preparing us. And we're always to be reminded to take heart, because as we see in the scriptures, that on the other side of waiting, there is God's power revealed. So perhaps that is encouraging for you tonight. If you feel like you're waiting, there is power on the other side of our wait. Well, this week we're opening Acts 2 and we're looking at a moment when the promised Holy Spirit was indeed poured out upon God's people. And this was the realization of what Jesus had promised and what had been prophesied all the way through the Old Testament, that there would be an outpouring of God's power, of His Spirit upon all people. And so tonight, to do this, I'm going to read the passage of Scripture, and I'm going to share on one very small thought for a minute, and then Ruthie's going to share for 5 minutes, and then Shelley's going to share for 5 minutes. We're going to have just a brief snippet of this moment in Scripture. Is that okay? Very good. Here's the three things, just so you can like catalog them away. And number one, the Holy Spirit is for everybody. Can you say that to someone? Say, the Holy Spirit is for everybody. The Holy Spirit gives us what we need to know and follow Jesus. And the Holy Spirit leads us to the love of the Father. There are three things that we're going to look at very short tonight. Let me read you the text. The coming of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2. If you've got a Bible, feel free to open it. I'm reading from the ESV. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And it divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. You know, this wind and this fire, these are symbols of God's undeniable presence with them. That God's presence was all around them. And they were all filled, all. And Bretto, over 30 years of preaching in this church, has always done an in-depth word study on the word all. And do you know what it means? Bretto, tell us. It means all. The Holy Spirit, all were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, funnily enough, devout men also from every nation under heaven. And at this sound of the rushing wind and the fire falling at this sound, the multitude, they all came together and they were bewildered. They were mind blown because each one of them were hearing them speak in their own language. They were all amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking from Galilee? And how is it that we each hear each one of us in our own native language?" There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. There were all people from all parts of the world, from all different walks of life, from all different corners of God's good creation in this place. And they all heard them telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God. And all of them were amazed. They were perplexed. They were mind-blown emoji, saying to one another, "What on earth does this mean?" But some of them standing by were going, "These guys have all had too much wine for breakfast." You know, this was a zany, crazy moment that even the best filmmakers in Hollywood would probably have a difficult time putting onto screen, both the power and the meaning and capturing the essence of what was happening in this moment. You know, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the spark that ignited the greatest movement of God's love and God's power across the world, a movement that you and I, kids, and you and I, big people, are all still a part of today. You know, there is a story that God, a love story that God has been writing since the very beginning of time, and it continues on to this very day. And you and I, we find ourselves in God's amazing, big, incredible story. And that is because God's love is for everyone. Kids, can you remember that? Or do I need you to tell you to forget that? God's love is for everyone. You know, right throughout history, people have argued about God and who God belongs to, and who belongs to God. It would be like, for example, in this room, if it was all of the kids all of a sudden stood up and they said, "God's ours, and God only loves us." And then it would be like the teenagers all stood up and they crossed their arms and they said, "No way. You know, God doesn't belong to you nose-picking little kids. He belongs to us stinky teenagers." And then it would be the big people would then stand up and go, "Oh, no way, God doesn't belong to those kids, and there's no chance that he belongs to those teenagers who make too much noise and mess in church and, you know, or leave their stuff everywhere and shoes and socks all over the place. There's no way that God is for the kids or for the teenagers. God is only for the big people. God is only..." Ronnie, you know that, you know what's going on. It'd be like the kids in Radiarc in the kids program saying, "Hey guys, how good is it that God's only with us in our room, and the big people in church, they don't get him. They're just in there wasting their time." And the big people in here going, "The kids are just being babysat over there. How cool is this? We get to sing and dance and worship and all of that. And it's just, you know, and God's just for us and not for them." Is that how it works, Ronnie? Oh, you had it right the first time, son. You know, what is so cool about this story of when God poured out his Holy Spirit is that it didn't matter who was in that room. It didn't matter if they were young. It didn't matter if they were old, or it didn't matter if they were in between. It didn't matter if they were locals. It didn't matter if they were blow-ins from out of town. It didn't matter where they voted, who their political preferences were. It didn't matter how much money was or was not in their bank accounts. It did not matter if they drove a fancy car or if they had the Povo pack. It didn't matter what color their skin was or what language they spoke or what country they came from. God poured out his Holy Spirit on all people. You know, at one time in the Bible, people tried to make a tower to get close to God. It was like the moon landing. They thought, if we can be the closest, the first one to get to God and stick our flag in the ground, then we can claim God as our own. But this story of God pouring out His Holy Spirit is God saying, there is no point trying to get to me because I have come to you. And I will be with you forever. I'm going to finish with this passage out of Joel chapter 2, and then I'll invite Ruth to come and give us a great visual picture. And this was prophesied by Joel hundreds of years before this moment. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on, here's the word again, all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And I long for that my kids, my boys and Poppy would prophesy, that old men shall dream dreams, that your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit. And friends, we are so caught up in this amazing story of God's power at work in the world to restore all things to Himself. And He uses people like you and I. And He pours out His Spirit on every single one of us, from the youngest to the most in between to the most oldest, on all flesh, on all people, not one person missing out. And that is a truth that we can take from here tonight. God pours out His Spirit on every single one of us. And that is great news. Ruthie, do you want to come and give us the next part? Look at this. This looks exciting, kids. A couple of cans of Solo. Thanks, Ruthie.
Everyone, I've got a question for you. What is the difference between these two cans? Is there anything different on the outside? Okay, you got 4 seconds to tell me. They are actually exactly the same on the outside. Exactly the same. The difference is, one is empty. Whoop, fish. One is unsealed and empty. That was water. I rinsed it. And one is full and sealed. I'll come back to that in 1 second. But in Ephesians 1, it says that when we believe in Christ, that God identifies us as His very own, and He puts His seal in us by giving us the gift of the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, kids, I've got something for you, is like a seal or a stamp marking us with God's love. This is what God is saying. Poppy, God is saying, you are mine and I love you so much. He's saying, you are mine and I love you so much. Can you guys help me? Can you guys go and give everyone a little love note of God? Stick it on them to remind them that, go grab them. Okay, go. Hey, Bench, can you help? Can you go stick that on people? Do you want to go stick it? All right, so this is the marker, the reminder that the Holy Spirit is an amazing seal to say that we are marked by the love of the Holy Spirit. So you're getting a little reminder right now. But this is not just a stamp of approval to say, woo, you're in. It is God giving us His very own Spirit, which is just crazy. God's saying that He is giving us His precious gift to be one with Him. I'll just pause for a second. So the Holy Spirit helps us know and remember that we belong to God, that we are His beloved kids, and that He is our really, really, really good Father. And in Romans 8, it says that the Holy Spirit confirms who we are, and that He whispers to us, you are God's beloved child. If you've got any spare stickers, can you come bring them here? Thank you. Nice. Just chuck them there. Yeah, you can keep that one. All right. So in John 14, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the helper, or other versions say the friend, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, the advocate, I said that, the strengthener, the alongsider. And Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, that he will lead us into truth, that he will show us who Jesus is, and he will help us remember and do what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is our 24/7 helper and friend. Kids, can you say, Holy Spirit is our 24/7 friend and helper. That's who he is. All right, so back to our cans, ready? So the only difference is that one is empty and unsealed, and one is full and sealed, exactly. Now, what's going to happen when I put pressure on the empty and sealed one, empty and unsealed one? What do you reckon is going to happen? Uh-oh, it fully fell apart. It's all crumpled up. You can't really tell what it is anymore. Even though it fully has its identity, it's all a bit like crumpled. You can't really see. And now what's going to happen if I put pressure? Just leave it. No, leave it. Oh no, you might want to get back. What's going to happen if I put pressure on the full and sealed one? The same pressure, the same vessel is exactly the same. Oh no. Whoa, it's the same weight, it's the same pressure, it's the same word, it's that same circumstance, it's that same experience. But one is filled and sealed, and one is empty and unsealed. As Dave said, the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Everyone who believes in Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can't lose the Holy Spirit. He is an incredible gift that God will never, ever take back. He is always, always with us. He is permanent. But we can empty ourselves of awareness of the Holy Spirit. We are all filled. Every single one of us is filled. But are we aware that we have a friend and helper with us? Who has a bike in this room? A bike. Who is anyone learning to ride the bike right now? Oh, how cool. Well, when I was younger, my parents were helping me ride the bike or learn. And one of them was holding the back and then steadying the handles. I can't do this one hand. And they were making sure that the handle's really steady and holding the back and then guiding me along with every step and encouraging me and telling me what to do. And then do you know what I did? I was like, I don't need you anymore. I got this. I can do it alone. And pushed them aside. What do you reckon happened? I definitely fell. You know, the wobbles were like, whoa! And then I did the scream, and then I fell, and then I grazed my legs, and I was crying, and my parents came, and they cleaned up all my mess, and they comforted me, and they helped me, just like the Holy Spirit. But even while I was doing the wobbles, my parents were like, this is what you need to do. And I totally ignored them. But sometimes we do that with the Holy Spirit. We ignore his help or reject his help. We ignore his whispers of love and wisdom. We try and do everything on our own. And sometimes we end up like this can, a little crushed from things we were never meant to carry. The same can, the exact same can, the same pressure. But one knows the gift they have and whose they are, and one doesn't. One receives the help, the 24/7 help and friendship of the Holy Spirit. One who tries to do it on their own. One who knows and lives like they are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit and receives all his amazing gifts. And one who doesn't realize what they already have. And I wonder, which can do you feel like? And this is the amazing part. The Holy Spirit wants to help us know him and trust him. And this is your true reality. This is what Jesus paid for on the cross. You are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he wants to help you experience the incredible gift that you already have. He wants to help you experience His love and His peace and His joy and His comfort and His wisdom and His grace and all the incredible things, His rest, His strength. The list goes on and on. He wants to help you experience what you already have, which is Him. And even if this is how we've been, if we've not believed that we have the Holy Spirit to help us, if we've been leaning on our own strength instead of His, if we've been rejecting His help and His leadership, the amazing thing about God is His incredible grace and mercy, that He's constantly reaching out to us, inviting us again and again, come trust me again, come choose me again, I'm right here, I'm still here. We've never lost the Holy Spirit, we just have lost awareness, and He's constantly telling us, remember who you are, remember what you have, and to like repent for trying in our own strength, and to believe that He is with us and He is in us. So how can we, this is just a question to take away, rely on the help of the Holy Spirit this week more? How can we trust His truth, listen to what He says? How can we let Him lead? How can we be more aware that He is with us and in us and the incredible gift that we already have? I just want to leave you with Psalm 33, verse 20 to 22. We're depending on God. He is everything we need. He alone is our radiant hope, our shield, our help. So we wait in hope for the Lord. His wraparound presence will strengthen, protect, and guide us. In Him, our hearts rejoice because we wholeheartedly trust His holy name. Let your faithful love and steadfast kindness rest on us, Lord, for we hope in and depend on you. Shell, come on up.
Thanks, Ruth. I was going to do a game, but I might just conclude with, I felt led to share a part of my testimony, and in part of my testimony it is when the Holy Spirit fell in the room. And so when I was 16 in year 10 in high school, I went on a camp, and at the time it was called Junior High, but now it's called Drastic. I was in the room with, as Dave said, I was in the room with a whole lot of people, and 10 were my girlfriends, and we're in a time of worship in the night, and the Holy Spirit just fell in the room, and it was for all, and it touched all. Me and my friends, we all just wept. And so we were all just wept and we were crying. And what had happened then, I want to explain what was going on for me at the age of 16, was for us all to be crying and weeping and not be able to stop. It was the Holy Spirit fell, but it was the Father's love. And so what I felt in that moment was fully seen, fully known, yet fully loved by God. By my Heavenly Father. It was the Father's love that fell. It's a type of love that it's from the inside out. It's the only way to explain it. It's the inside out. And I'd actually use the picture of the prodigal son. And so the prodigal son comes back to his father, his earthly father, and he's fully seen, fully known, yet fully embraced, fully loved. And there's just no love. There's nothing that compares to that. And so for us in that room, we went out from that place. There was a boldness, but there was a boldness because we were loved by a Heavenly Father. And so we went out and we were all baptized. We went back to our local churches. We were baptized And actually, I'll just tell this story. For those that don't know me, I'm actually a triplet. And so my triplet sister was being baptized that night, and I was up the back. And then the Holy Spirit, again, just came upon me, and it's the heartbeat. And when you know, you need to respond. And I was up the back, and you put it off, and you put it off to the final song. And I went to my youth pastor at the time, which was Matt Tomlin, and I said, "Do you think I can be baptized tonight?" And it was the final song, and I was apologizing for it because the whole service was going to be held up. And he said, "Absolutely." And so I was brought down to the front. Adam Stewart was the pastor at the time, and I was baptized. We then went out, a group of friends. We went out, we went into our schools. We started a small group on a Friday, and we were known as the Christians. We were known as the Christians, probably still known as the Christians. But also what happened actually on that camp was, again, being a triplet, we were stood up and we were prophesied over that a rope woven with three strands is hard to break. And little did I know, me and my sisters, my family, what was coming ahead was tumultuous time, turmoil in the home when my parents separated, were kicked in and out of home. Again, I just go the timing of my Heavenly Father reaching out and coming upon me, protected me in those next few years. Ruth mentioned the Holy Spirit being our helper, and I just said there was just protection over my life in that time. So I just want to conclude with we have a good Father. We have a good Heavenly Father that pours out His Spirit upon everyone. Yeah.
How good. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. He leads us into the knowledge and into the way of following Jesus, and He leads us to the love of the Father. And we're going to stand together, and we're going to finish. I was going to pray for us. And the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit doesn't need a loud band and doesn't need flashing lights and doesn't need the temperature in the room to be just right. He loves just to break into our everyday, ordinary moments when we're colouring in on the floor or when we're standing in a room or when we're on a camp or when we're drinking coffee with a friend. The Holy Spirit loves to fall and fill us just in the everyday, normal moments. And this perhaps is one of them for you just now. Just to be filled with the Holy Spirit afresh. Just to be aware of God's presence with you anew. Perhaps that awareness, as Ruthie said, has Wayne, you're like, "Where is God? I can't see Him. I'm unsure." And perhaps there's just a deep revelation of the Father's love that He wants to pour out in your heart this evening. And I don't want to miss the moment either. Just to recognize, as the kids were just putting these, they were sealing us with these stickers. There's just something that was flickering in my heart just around the power of God at work through our kids and through our young people. And I think that the future of our church, the future of the church, is going to be at the incredible work of the Holy Spirit through our next generation. And that we need, us big people, we need to be prepared for that. To be prepared that it's not big, ugly blokes like me up the front of a church that'll preach the word and the Holy Spirit will fall on it. Like, far be it from God to do that. But how likely of God to choose the weak and the humble and the unlikely, the ones who are often to be, seen but not heard. There is a powerful work that God is going to do through our kids, and as they have gone around and sealed us this morning metaphorically with a sticker, perhaps there is something that we are to receive from our children in the days and the months and the years ahead. And so look out for that, church. Look out for what God is going to do through our kids. Look out for what God is going to do in our young people, in the emerging generations, for His glory, and how that will shape us and call us to a greater level of faith in Jesus as they show us the way forward. let's pray together and just ask that we would receive and would be aware of Holy Spirit. And then we'll pray that we receive dinner gladly together as well in just a moment. Oh, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would break into this moment right now by your power. Father, we don't understand the rhyme or reason in which you work, but we know that because you are love and that you love us so dearly, that you want to fill us, you want to equip us, you want to remind us of your love and your greatness and your majesty. You want to make us be like the can that can withstand the pressure in life. You want to remind us that despite what we have lived and what we have done and our past, that you still choose us and you love us, and that you have an incredible life ahead for us in serving and following you. And so, God, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon all flesh right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Father, there would be a release of what is in heaven here on earth. There'd be a release of power and authority. There'd be a release of healing, a release of supernatural forgiveness that goes beyond one person to another saying, I'm sorry, but there would be a deepness, a depth of forgiveness in our hearts tonight, one that can only be explained by your power at work in us. But Father, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that you meet with us, that this is a delight for you to be here, to be speaking. And Father, it brings you such joy. I know it does, that when your people gather to eat together as well, with glad and thankful hearts for the food set before us and for the fellowship we share at the table. God, I pray that you would continue to speak, continue to encourage us, be with us and bless us, Lord, as our food and our eating is an act of worship in return, Father, for all the love you have given us. So we give you thanks tonight, Lord, for this family, for your church, for the food that we're going to eat, for our kids, for all of the blessings you give us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.